You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. I'm Todd Gleason. On this Monday afternoon, let's check the marketplace for the 15th day of September with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Glad to be here.
I suppose farmers were a little disappointed maybe today. They've been disappointed in the marketplace, but today they had rainfall, and I suspect they'd like to be trying to shuck some corn, or at least a few of them. What have you heard about the harvest over the weekend? Much come in?
Very, very little. It was outside the central part here for the most part. There was a little activity yesterday afternoon. Just east of Bloomington here, one guy was moving along, and it's about 24-25% moisture, and better than what he thought as far as what the yield monitor was showing. But there was expectations to get in today or tomorrow, but this morning's rain event's going to probably delay that a little further yet.
There was some strength in the marketplace. Why did that happen in the corn pit for the day?
Well, several things materialized to give a reason for a little buying interest. One, the market's just incredibly oversold, and just everybody's just bearish as bearish could be. So the momentum indicators are starting to turn up in here, and we're due for a little bit of recovery here for the most part. As far as fundamental factors, we saw the Mexicans come in, buy 120,000 tons of U.S. corn. China bought 180,000 tons of corn. China is in town and looking at maybe going ahead and putting some numbers out tomorrow morning on some long-term commitments for some U.S. beans. Feed grains are down to levels where it should stimulate a little bit of demand. So that, coupled with the weekend cold temperatures, kind of limited the selling pressure. Ideas, maybe we lost up to 15 million bushels of beans and 30 million bushels of corn. But the main event is tomorrow morning when we see the FSA numbers. The trade's fearful that we're going to see a drop of 2 million acres on corn and 1 million harvested acres in beans. And that tightens up the supply-demand balance sheet a little bit more. So kind of up today, see what the numbers are tomorrow, then I would assume that we'll find some resistance just above the market.
And so it's all about waiting for another set of numbers, and this one from the FSA. These aren't exactly official numbers, but will help guide USDA when it updates the and revises the acreage figures, in particular, I suppose, for harvested acres in the October numbers from the crop production and the WASDE numbers.
Yeah, now whether they go full force and use these numbers, we'll see. But it's been long anticipated that we would see a drop in harvest acres, but that would be offset with a bump up in yield forecast, too. So there's a lot of moving parts. If your numbers cruncher, there's a lot of ways you can speculate on the supply-demand balance sheet on where we're going to go. But the main thing, I think, to realize as a producer at this point in time, whether it's yields up or down, acres up and down, demand's up and down, at this present time, we're producing more than what we're consuming or exporting. The supply is greater than the demand, so therefore it's going to be awful hard to get a big bullish move in the marketplace until we get that more to neutral territory. As of right now, we're producing 790 million bushels of corn, more than what the demand is. In a soybean supply-demand balance sheet, we're producing over 330 million bushels, more than what the consumption side of the equation is. So I think that's kind of the theme or one needs to remember as we go through these reports.
Are you surprised by the remaining strength in the soybean market? Not so much in the nearby, I suppose, because there probably should be a premium as we wait for real harvest to begin and the push here in the Midwest. But the deferreds, the January, March, May in particular, still remain strong. March, May, July, August, September, all above $10 at this time.
Yeah, they're hanging in there. I was really surprised at the strength as we were in that May-June time window. Since then, we've basically lost almost $3 off those highs. The June stocks report really put the damper to the bean market. Since then, we just kind of been sliding sideways to lower in here. But the trade just is in a big hurry to get these beans down to $9. But it just was not too long ago we were at 12 and a half. So it's going to be kind of hard to see the bean market rally a whole lot as we move forward in through here. If harvest just around the corner, we're going to lose that big premium up front. The crush reports, you know, just confirmed we had tight old crop supplies. Monthly crush 110, oil stocks were 1.2 billion below trade expectations. But yeah, we just not had the beans come to town yet. And what we do get is bean harvest in through here, up in the upper Midwest in through here. I have a feeling the market's just going to continue to sort of drift and wander here for a while.
Anything for the livestock producer today?
Well, the overall market sentiment remains optimistic. Looking at the monthly supply demand report last week, there's confirmation on their numbers that per capita consumption continues to slip. So as we continue to see tight numbers but heavier weights, we still have some meat to go through, and it's going to hinge on export news. In order to maintain these higher prices, we need to continue to see the export market hang in here to sort of gobble up the supplies we have. But overall, we feel the beef and pork sector, price-wise, is going to hang in there for another year to 2 years, Todd.
Kurt, I thank you for being with us today.
Very good. Enjoyed it. Take care.